Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. The scripture reading that was just read for us was from Hebrews chapter 11 that talked about the faith of Abel. And it mentioned the contrast there between Abel and his brother Cain. And that's what we're going to be talking about here this morning, about Cain and Abel. And particularly we're going to be focusing on Cain and what Cain should have done in the events that we read about here in Genesis chapter 4. Abel was one who faithfully obeyed God, and as the scripture reading was read for us, though he is dead, he still speaks. We have his example of one who was a faithful servant of God who obeyed him. Cain is an example of one who chose to do what was evil instead. But what should Cain have done? He could have chosen to do what was right. And even when as we're going to read about the offering that he made that was not what God wanted, he could have made correction after that. But he didn't. There were several steps that led Cain, as it says in verse 16, away from the presence of the Lord. It wasn't just one thing that happened. There are several things that happened here that led him away from God. And this could have been stopped at any point if he would have made a different decision. So we're going to look at his example here, what he should have done, and what it teaches us about what we should be doing in our service to God today. So we're going to start by reading this passage in Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Several things that we see here with these two brothers. Both of them, they bring an offering to the Lord. But again, one was regarded by God and one was not. What did Cain do wrong? What could he have done, or what should he have done differently? Well, the first thing that we can see, and maybe the most obvious here at the beginning, is that he should have made his offering by faith. Cain and Abel, as we see here in the beginning part of this chapter, both made an offering to the Lord, but only Abel's was accepted. Cain brought, it says there, he was a tiller of the ground. He brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Why would Cain bring that as the offering? Maybe he thought, well, this is what I have grown. This is what I have worked on. So this is a more personal expression of worship to God. And so this is what I'm going to bring. It could have been that this was what was convenient, that this is what he had. So he grew these crops and grew this produce. And so this is what I'm going to bring. I'm going to bring this to the Lord as an offering. It also could be that he just didn't really give much thought to it. Abel's bringing an offering, so I guess I should bring an offering too, and this is what I'm going to bring. We're not told exactly what his reasoning was, what his thought process was, whether his motive was good or bad. All we know is God had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and for his offering. But what was different about Abel's offering? From the text, what do we see here? It says Abel, on his part, brought of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. That passage that was read for us in the beginning in the scripture reading, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, it says that Abel did this by faith. By faith, Abel made the sacrifice, implying that Cain did not make this offering by faith. And some might say, well, didn't he believe in God? Didn't he, you know, he was making an offering. Obviously, he believed that God was there, and he was making an offering to God. So how can we say this was not by faith? If there's some type of belief or acknowledgement or recognition that there is God, how was that not by faith? Abel's was by faith. Cain's was not. We need to understand what it means to do something by faith, to make an offering by faith. Over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it tells us where faith comes from or what the source of faith is. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or hearing by the word of God. If Abel makes his offering by faith, that tells us that God gave them instructions about what they were to do. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Abel offers his sacrifice by faith. God told them what to do. God told them of the type of offering that they were to make. Abel followed God's instructions. Cain did not. And again, we don't know his reasoning. Maybe he thought, well, this is what I have, so I think this is just as good as what Abel's going to offer. Or this is more personal to me, and we're not told what his reasoning was. But what we do know is that it was not by faith, because it was not according to God's instructions. Cain could have avoided trouble if he just did what God had instructed. So the lesson for us is that we need to act by faith. We need to follow the instructions that God has given us. James chapter 1 and verse 22 tells us what we are to, or how we are to respond to the word of God. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Cain was one of those who had deluded himself. That he believed, well, I'm making an offering. Surely God's going to be pleased by this. He was not a doer of the word as Abel was. Abel offered this by faith. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, talked about those who would say, well, Lord, have we not done all of these things in your name? And he would say, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They were doing things with a belief in God, belief in the Lord, trying to do things for him. Well, that's what Cain was doing. He was bringing an offering. He recognized God was there, but he wasn't doing this by faith. It wasn't according to God's instructions. He was doing what he thought was good. It was not according to God's law, but he thought this was good enough. So the lesson for us as we think about what Cain should have done, he should have made his offering by faith. We need to make sure that whatever we do and whatever offering we're making to God, whether it's in our worship services or as we give our lives as a living sacrifice, as Romans 12 talks about, we need to make sure everything we do is according to God's instructions. Amen. That we are acting by faith and not think, well, I have a better way to do this, or this is more convenient, or this is more personal if I do it this way. Or possibly Cain just didn't give much thought to it, and we could be guilty of the same thing. We just don't really think about it, and so we just do whatever, you know, seems like the best idea at the time. We need to serve God, make sacrifices to God, do all of this by faith according to his instructions. But then we think about, well, what should Cain have done? He made this offering. It was not what God wanted. The next thing he should have done was found out why God didn't regard his offering. This should have been the next thing. So God rejected Cain's offering. And so verse 5 says, for Cain and his offering he had no regard, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. His whole attitude changed. His whole disposition was different. Well, now he's angry about this. He's upset about this. He never, though, asked God why was this not acceptable? He never found out, what could I have done differently? God told him in verse 7, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. God told him there in verse 7, do well. This is what you're to do. Do well. Well, what does that mean? Cain, maybe he didn't know what that meant, but he never found out. Maybe he was confused about what that meant, but he never asked. He never found out what he should have done, even though there was an opportunity here. As God is speaking with him, he didn't take this as an opportunity to find out what he should have done. Yes, he sinned. Yes, he made an offering that was not God's, according to God's instructions, but he could have found out what needed to happen. Did it have to be a firstling of the flock like Abel offered? Was there something else that was acceptable? Was something that he could have given instead? He never found out. He never asked. He never found out why God didn't regard his offering. But Cain had to be willing to admit that he was wrong and then do something different. And a lot of times people, when they do something wrong and they get called out for doing what's wrong, they never find out or never bother to learn what they should have done, because then that's an admission that they did something that was wrong. And many people don't want to do that. They don't want to admit that they did something wrong and that they have to make some changes. So Cain here, he gets defensive. He becomes angry. He becomes angry here. His countenance fell. He refused to listen. God told him, you need to do well. Either he knew what that meant and he just didn't want to do it, or he didn't know what that meant and wasn't interested in finding out. But he was stuck in doing what he wanted to do, and he was not willing to change, and he was not wanting to find out what he could have done differently. He never found out or never was interested in finding out from God why this offering was not accepted. The lesson for us is that we need to be willing to listen, and we need to be willing to accept correction, especially when it comes from the Word of God, but also when it comes from other people as well. Remember in our study in the book of Acts, we recently studied Acts chapter 18, where we learned about Apollos. And Apollos, as he came, he was preaching, he was one who was mighty in the Scriptures. He believed in the Lord and was and knew well what the Scriptures taught and was teaching those things to others. But Priscilla and Aquila had to pull him aside and explain to him the way of God more accurately. A lot of people would not take that very well. Think, well, who are you to explain to me? I know what the Scriptures teach. I know what the Word of God is. And a lot of people would just continue on and believing what they've always believed and teaching what they've always taught, and not willing to be correct, not willing to listen. Apollos, though, he was willing to listen. He was willing to accept correction. And all of us need to be willing to do that. Because at any time throughout our lives, there may be things that we are doing that we shouldn't be doing, that are not what God's will is. Or maybe we're not doing something that we ought to do. If someone pulls us aside and tries to explain to us the way of God more accurately and tries to point this out to us so that we can do better, we need to be willing to accept that and appreciate that, not get defensive, not get angry, which is what Cain did here on this occasion. Not just immediately lash out. Going back to James chapter 1, we read verse 22 earlier, but this correction could come from someone coming to us and saying, hey, you're doing this, but you need to be doing this instead. This correction could also come from the Word of God. And the correction that comes from someone else ultimately needs to be coming from the Word of God. That's the correction we need to accept. And James talks about this here in James chapter 1, the verses leading up to the one we read earlier. In verse 19, he says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Be willing to listen. And not immediately talk back, not immediately get defensive, not immediately, you know, try to explain away what, you know, what you've done. Be willing to listen. Don't get angry. Be slow to anger, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That's not going to help you get right with God. That's not going to help you make correction. You need to do what is right. We need to learn from Cain here. What he should have done is found out, okay, I made this offering. God did not accept it. What should I have done differently? What offering could I make next time that will be accepted by God? But he failed to do that. We need to be willing to learn and grow and make corrections when we find out there are things that we've done that are not the will of God. The next thing that Cain should have done, he should have learned from the example of his brother Abel. God had talked to him and God said, well, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? After his conversation with God, he goes and speaks with his brother Abel. Verse 8, Cain told his brother and talked to him about this. Before we, you know, you read the rest of that verse, and you know, we remember the account of what happens, that they're out in the field and Cain rises up against him and kills Abel. Something else could have happened here. Something else should have happened here, where he goes to Abel and talks to him. And again, rather than becoming angry, he could have been helped by Abel. This could have been beneficial for him. We've already noticed from the scripture reading in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abel was a man of faith. But there's another thing that we see that Jesus says about Abel over in Luke chapter 11, verses 50 and 51, where Jesus says, so that the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the house of God, yes, I tell you, it should be charged against this generation. Now, his point is, he's talking about how the Jews there in Jerusalem in the first century, as Jesus was teaching there, they were rejecting his message. They were rejecting him as the Messiah. All the prophets pointed to Jesus, and Jesus is saying that the blood of all the prophets are going to be charged to this generation. And that would happen when Jerusalem would be destroyed in AD 70. But notice what Jesus says here about who these prophets are. From the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. Abel was a prophet. We don't, you know, think about that when we just read the book of Genesis. But Abel was a prophet, meaning he was speaking for God. We talked about how he made his offering by faith, which must mean they had instructions. God had to have told them what to do. Well, Abel was the one receiving those instructions. He was the one who was a spokesman for God. Cain could have been helped by him. Cain could have received counsel and guidance and instruction that if he didn't know what he did wrong, or if he wasn't clear about what God's instructions were, Abel could have helped. Abel could have cleared all that up for him. But it takes humility to ask for help. Cain did not want to do that, especially here he is the older brother and having to come to his younger brother and ask him for help. He did not want to ask for help. In order to learn anything and be helped by anyone, we need to be able to admit our own shortcomings and how we have room to grow and room to improve. The wise man over in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 and 9, said, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. There are two attitudes here described in this verse, one or these verses. One is of someone who does not want to admit that they're wrong, does not want to ask for help, does not want to receive counsel from anyone. So you reprove a scoffer, you try to correct him, well, he's just going to hate you. That's what Cain is, what he does here with Abel. But a wise man, a righteous man, he is willing to accept teaching. He's willing to accept help because he knows that he has room to improve and other people may be able to help him. As they may have more experience, they may have a better knowledge of the will of God, but they may be able to help him. Cain, he is like the scoffer who just hates the one who corrects him. He directed his anger toward Abel and killed him. The lesson for us is that if we fail to do what is right, we are not to resent those who are doing what's right. But instead, we need to learn from them and see how they can help us. You look at the example of Saul over in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. This is after David had killed Goliath and the Israelites were able to defeat the Philistines because of that. Well, Saul was king over Israel and he had led the Israelites. He may have, been afraid of going out and facing Goliath, but he had led the Israelites and into battle and all of that. Well, in chapter 18, right after David, the chapter where David kills Goliath, it says in verse 7, "The women sang as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.'" Now, David by this point had not slain 10,000s of people, but he had killed Goliath. And as we read about another, in this whole account, that he had killed other animals that had threatened his flocks and done that type of thing. But this was a recognition of the great thing that David did. That it is figurative language or poetic license that they're using here. But they're acknowledging what Saul has done. Saul's slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Look at how great this thing is that David did. Verse 8. "Saul became very angry for this saying, displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?'" He became angry. He resented David. And from this point, he tried to, as verse 9 says, he looked with suspicion at David from that day on, but he would go on and on several occasions try to kill him. But he wasn't seeing, well, David obviously was a man of faith. He was willing to go against Goliath. What can I learn from him that I can maybe do, even lead the people better than I have to this point, or be more faithful to God than I have at this point? That's not what he did. He became angry. He resented David because David showed faith and he didn't. Cain, he resented Abel. Abel showed faith. Cain did not. If we fail to do what's right, if we are like Cain, we make an offering or we do something that is not according to the will of God, or we're like Saul, we fail to do something that we should be doing, and then someone else does what we should have done, don't resent that person for doing what you should have done. Instead, learn from them. Last week in our lesson, we talked about the collection. We talked about some questions related to giving. We mentioned one of the passages that we looked at was in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We talked about the example of the Macedonians. And Paul was writing to the church at Corinth telling them, look at the example of these brethren, how despite their deep poverty, they overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Look at everything, what they were able to do, that we didn't expect them to give, but they were begging us to be able to give, that they could help contribute to the support of the saints. The church, the brethren there at Corinth could have looked at that and resented the brethren of Macedonia. Well, look, they're just trying to show us up. But look at, they're making us look bad because they're giving when they don't really can't afford to give, but they're giving anyway. And now Paul's having to write to us and use them as an example. They could have, and this happens all the time, that people resent those who they think make them look bad because they went above and beyond. They did something that that was commendable, and these people are now having to listen to it and say, well, you should have been more like these people over here. Cain, he received the message, well, you should have done like what Abel did. He made this offering by faith. You should have done that. He did not accept that. He did not appreciate that. He became angry. He killed Abel over this. But the lesson for us is, rather than resenting those who are showing good examples for us, we need to follow their example. We need to learn from them and be encouraged by them, and then do those things that they're doing in service to God to the best of our abilities. Then the final thing that we see about Cain, what should he have done? God told him that he needed to master that sin that threatened to ensnare him. Verse 7, God said, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain did not offer an offering that was accepted by God. That needed to be corrected. That needed to be changed so that he could make an offering that was pleasing to God, that was by faith. But there was something that was even worse, or where this would lead to. God told him, sin is crouching at the door. You are in danger of becoming ensnared to sin, where you are trapped by it, that it is ruling over you. He says, you must master it. You must rule over it, not be ruled by it. But Cain failed to do this. He failed to master sin. If you look over in 1 John chapter 3, John talks about Cain and his character and what led him down this path that he was on, where he never made correction. He never repented. He never changed course, even though there were several things that he could have done to fix this problem. 1 John 3 and verse 12 says, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Cain, it says, he was of the evil one. His deeds were evil. He had given himself over to sin. He did not heed God's warning to master that sin that was crouching at the door. Instead, he allowed that, through the choices that he made, allowed sin to enslave him. Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 6 and the danger that it poses for us today, that sin can become, that we can become enslaved to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 16, he says, do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? We make a choice who we are going to serve. Cain was told, you need to master your sin, not be mastered by it. But he instead made the choice. He was going to serve sin. His deeds were evil. Not his deed, as in this one time that he made this offering, or the one time where he killed his brother. His deeds were evil. He had given himself over to the evil one. He did not master that sin that was lying in wait for him. He did what was wrong, and he resented his righteous brother because of it. The lesson for us is that we need to take sin seriously. Cain was told that sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. It is trying to rule over you. We need to take sin seriously. And there are a lot of passages that we might look at on this point. But over in Matthew chapter 5, one of the things that Jesus says here on the Sermon on the Mount shows us just how serious we are to treat sin. That we are not to treat it lightly, thinking, well, it's not really that big of a deal. You must master it. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Then he said, "If your right eye makes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Jesus' point here is that you don't need to treat sin as if it's really no big deal. This is serious. That you need to do whatever you have to do to remove sin from your life, to overcome sin. This is not something to be treated lightly. And Cain, obviously from what we read about him, did not consider this a big deal, did not think that this was a problem, and he had given himself over to sin, and because of that, his deeds were evil. We need to not follow his example, but we need to take sin seriously and work to overcome it. So we follow the example of Abel. We read in the scripture reading in Hebrews chapter 11. We are to follow the example of Abel. He, though he is dead, he still speaks. He shows how we live by faith. He obeyed God, followed his instructions. When we fall short of that, and we will all fall short of that from time to time, when we fall short of that, we need to learn from Cain's example, not in what he did, but what he should have done. He should have acted by faith. He should have learned what he needed to do differently once he sinned. He should have looked to the example of others. He should have mastered sin. He should have done those things so he could turn back to the Lord and not depart further and further away from him. But he failed to do that. We need to learn from his mistakes and his shortcomings. And when we sin, do what he should have done rather than continue to move further away from the Lord. So as we close the lesson and extend the invitation, we want to invite anyone who is not yet a Christian to become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you can be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away. And if you've done that and have allowed sin in your life, it's as serious as it was with Cain. Learn from his shortcomings. Learn from what he should have done. And recognize that sin. Turn away from it. Turn back to the Lord. Pray to him and ask him for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, we'd be happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.